Christ.
Well, it is another week. This is Andrew, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, how are you doing? We are, let's see, we were back for 2020 last week.
Right.
This is the second show of the new year. And you're looking good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just kind of normal.
Just
right?
Normal. I just wanted to say that.
No, I have indeed taken on, I think I may have mentioned it at the end of
you
the
did.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken on a bit of a dietary reset. And so, I did first a 40-day detox, and I'm actually continuing that on a bit, for probably another 15 days or so. And then we'll kind of set back into, a process of reintroducing some foods into my mm-hmm. diet. But yeah, so right now, it is literally no sugar, no oils, no dairy. And yeah, it's been good. It's unfortunate that that was necessary because I wouldn't say that I just let myself go. It
yeah.
was more because I'm still active, you know, and do a lot of stuff. It's just, my probably default is to eat, for comfort. And man, I just have to try to retrain my mind and doing that. So yeah, I've lost about 40 pounds.
That's awesome.
Over the holidays, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
I guess about 45 days or so. So obviously that's pretty fast. I'm working with a doctor and have a plan and things
yeah.
of that sort. But yeah, man, it's nice to actually be able to fit back into some pants that
you
used
well,
to
you know, and it's interesting. I'm with you. And I think we were just talking about this off air, as we get older, it's harder to get
man,
that weight off.
It's so
you
hard.
You know, and so for a long time, it's like, well, I just eat what I
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I could fluctuate 20 to 25, like, probably 20 pounds. I could fluctuate 20 pounds and truly lose it really, really quick. Now, again, I understand people have said, he just said he lost 40
yeah.
pounds in 45 days. Again, I'm working
but
with
very structured.
Yes,
yeah.
with a dietitian and things of that sort. Back in the day, I literally could just like, I'll take some, no breads this
yeah.
month, you know, and lose 20
well,
pounds.
Well, back in
can't
the day too,
anymore.
You could, oh, it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to eat a bag of Doritos and there's going to be no consequence
yes.
because of that. I will burn these calories in my sleep. And now, you know, as we get older, it's like, why isn't it that's, I don't feel like it's burning off. Last night we ate supper and then about, 10 o'clock, I was hungry.
Yes.
And I went through every cabinet, Jason.
Yes.
Every cabinet looking. I'm so glad we haven't gone shopping this week.
It was a
every
thin.
Cabinet. I was like, there's gotta be something. Anything. M&Ms. Are there M&Ms anywhere in this house? Are there Hershey's anywhere in this house? And there weren't none. And so I didn't eat anything, but we have those moments of that. And I think it's important that as we go through those things, it's good to have accountability partners, encouragers.
Sure. Yeah, I think I just invited all of our listeners into my
go.
Accountability group.
I mean, we're doing body squats right now.
Absolutely.
As we're talking.
Yeah, I have a dumbbell in my hand right now. No, so what is your, like, what would be a guilty pleasure or like when it comes to like a food, and maybe it's a food, but it's also maybe a pattern. Outside of your sun drop, I
yeah,
know that you
the sun drop is probably the,
you know, but like the yeah. thing that you like, no, like I shouldn't do this, but man, I really want to do this.
Yeah. I've never been much of a dessert guy.
Okay.
But I will say like a McFlurry, M&M McFlurry
Yum.
Or a Blast,
Yum.
Any of that, I could eat that literally any time of day.
Yeah.
And lick that cup clean. And so that is probably, it's good that it's not in my home. I have to actually go and get it.
Right.
Things that are in the home, it would be chips. I could just
yeah.
eat chips.
Carrie loves chips.
Yeah. Doritos, barbecue chips. I could just put those away.
I've got a probably a tie if I could. So,
okay.
So I think in the evening, I can't do this, but if I was just throwing caution to the wind,
yeah.
I would go, like a 9 o'clock bowl of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. like legitimately ice cream almost within 30 minutes of the time I go to bed, which
yeah.
is super ideal.
Yeah, that makes
you
sense.
Know?
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the day, I would go Chick-fil-A breakfast burrito
okay.
with a cherry Coke.
Oh, okay.
And maybe one of the reasons I needed to lose this weight is because that was
of that.
One of my patterns.
Because that was the thing
I was
you did.
Doing that
yeah.
potentially two or three
yeah.
or more.
Yeah,
days
it.
A week.
I had to remove breakfast from even my
yeah.
routine at all.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I was doing a lot of that, of just junking it up.
Yeah.
for breakfast to start the day.
Well, they talk about that. They talk about that actually, you know, that if you're waking up very hungry, and I love breakfast.
Sure.
And maybe more so, I just really like breakfast foods.
Oh, yeah.
They say if you wake up really hungry in the morning, it's usually likely connected to a bad decision you made the night before yeah. because you've had an insulin spike. Yep. And your body is like,
have something.
Yeah, you gotta have, like, needs its fix.
Yeah.
And so that is,
yeah, it's interesting
it sounds like my ice cream is connected to
it. It probably was. And I'll say that Aaron's, my wife's dad, my father-in-law, great shape. He's in his 60s, but just works on a farm, drives a concrete truck, just kind of like a good old boy. Yeah. He's not heavy, but he's getting older. But there were times we would go over to his house. And it'd be not, 9, 10 o'clock and he would say, hey, I got some ice cream. Do y'all want any? And I go, I don't know. I mean, it's 10 o'clock. I don't know right. if I want any. And he would grab his own and just sit in his recliner with a spoon. And I was like, wow. Oh, like we each get our own because you're going to eat every bit of that. And he would go, yeah, I'm going to eat all of this.
Oh man.
And, but he would work it, you know, the next day he'd be out in the field and I was like, oh my gosh, if I did that and then set it at a desk, I'd be big as a house, I think.
Yeah.
And so, but he can, you know, it's the same thing my pawpaw.
Sure.
He would drink sweet tea with every meal, eat his three meals a day, but he would burn those calories quickly.
My grandmother fixed for my grandfather a bit, like we would consider a big breakfast. Uncle Herschel's, old timers at Cracker Barrel type breakfast every morning.
Yep.
And it include gravy and all that other stuff, but he worked just, like a horse.
Yeah, intermittent fasting for them would not have worked for what they were doing.
Probably
not. Getting out in the field at the morning and going till sundown, it just doesn't work. So as we talk about dieting and stuff, I think a good transition would be to look at professional athletes. And Major League Baseball in particular.
A bit of a stretch on the transition, but today indeed we are talking about Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And we're talking about athletes as a whole.
It's like 20 something days till pitchers report.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
But big news coming out. It's not steroids this time. It's technology.
Yes.
And big news coming out. Give us a summation of what has occurred over the last few weeks concerning the Astros and their championship.
Right. Yeah. So if you, do not have any interest in sports, do not turn.
This is
the
show for you.
Yeah, no, we are going to talk about larger issues,
sure.
Connected to sports. And really, I would even say issues connected to integrity and, kind of the idea of what we do in order to get ahead or to get an advantage over people, in really any setting. But the thing that's prompting today's discussion is if you have not seen the news, and you don't follow it, there has been major happenings in Major League Baseball over the last, not just the last couple of days, while some things have really hit the fan over the last couple of days. There's been an ongoing investigation connected to the Houston Astros. Houston Astros are, of course, the Major League Baseball affiliate in the city of Houston, Texas. And they won the World Championship in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach and current general manager were connected to the program at that time. There was a report then ultimately testimony and evidence that was then reviewed by the league that was about them stealing signs in a way that was beyond the kind of etiquette
of
the game.
Shortstop stealing signs.
So if you say, what is stealing signs? It is meaning when a catcher communicates with a pitcher, they are determining together what pitch they're going to mm-hmm. throw to the batter.
Curveball, slider, sinker,
correct.
Fastball, changeup.
Correct. And there's always been kind of a common understanding, a kind of part of baseball, the etiquette of baseball, that you could steal signs on the field of play. Meaning if a runner gets to second base, and he can kind of duck his head in.
Sure.
And he can see, he's got a direct path and the catcher is not, being discreet
yep.
or he's not mixing up his signs. Then if you can somehow figure out and interpret what's going on, that has been commonly accepted.
Sure.
However, What was happening, though, is that the Houston Astros were using technology, and they were using a camera.
Yeah, it was probably HD.
Yeah, that was in center field. That was zoomed in and was allowing not just the camera to see what was going on, but the camera was sending a signal to a monitor to a employee of the Houston Astros, who were then in a neighboring hallway.
Right.
And they were then clanking on some pipe or a table or something of that sort that can be heard if you go back and listen to the, you know, listen to some of those games, can be heard. And so thus it could either be heard by a coach who could then pass on a signal, but more likely was actually being heard by the batter himself.
Right.
And he knew if he heard this clank, it was going to be a slider or it was going to be a curveball. And so a couple things happened. One, the Houston Astros won the World Series that year.
It worked.
In addition, the next year, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. You say, what's the connection? Well, one of the coaches, assistant coaches of the Houston Astros from 2017, went and became the head coach for the Boston Red
probably
Sox
just
in
the
2018.
Coincidence. Yeah, probably just the coincidence.
And so there has been a strong statement that has been made by Major League Baseball. They have suspended the coach for the Astros, the general manager for the Astros. The Astros
for
then,
1 year. They suspended
for 1 year.
For 1 year.
The Astros then immediately went and fired both of those men. The Houston Astros as an organization loses $5 million and a number of draft picks. Boston Red Sox, as they saw Alex Cora, again, the previous coach or one of the coaches for the Houston Astros, they have then since terminated him. And so it is a hot, hot mess, and it is a major blight on kind of the identity and really, you know, kind of the personality of Major League Baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan.
Yeah.
My boys play baseball. I love following baseball. And, man, it's super disappointing. But I think the big question is, really, is this just happening everywhere?
Well, I'm pretty confident it's not just the Astros, right. Not just the Red Sox.
And it may not be that technique.
That's
they're
true.
They're probably
there's
doing
something.
Certain things.
And, right. And that's the thing we have to – it goes back to – and we were talking off air about back in the day you had – the home run race between Sosa and Mark McGwire and steroids. And you had all of these players that were just, they looked like bodybuilders. They
right.
didn't look like your typical.
Right.
You look back at.
And suddenly they looked very different than they had just but two or three seasons before.
Yeah, you look back at old players like Mickey Mantle and them, and you're like, they just look like regular dudes.
Right.
Like, and then all of a sudden you have Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, you have the Bash Brothers, you have Sammy Sosa, you have Barry Bonds, all these guys that just were giant.
Right.
And it was a great time for baseball.
People flocked to the stadium.
We drove to St. Louis. We watched
right.
Mark McGwire play against Sammy Sosa.
Watched the home run chase.
And McGwire hit two home runs while we were there. I mean, we were losing our mind watching this. It was some of the best moments for me in terms of watching sports as a kid. It was just amazing and watching all of that. And then you find out, oh, they were cheating, and so then we justify it. Well, if everyone's cheating,
right.
is anyone
really,
really
cheating?
Cheating?
That's exactly.
And then McGwire went in front of the Congress and was like, I'm not here to talk about the past as he's busting out of his shirt, you know.
Right.
And it's an interesting thing, and this doesn't have to do with steroids. It feels like MLB has gotten control of that.
Right.
And the drug issue. But now it's like, because of technology, we've gone so far and advanced so far so quickly that now teams are always looking for that edge. We saw this in NASCAR and always finding the edge. We see this in everything.
Right.
How can we get the edge on our opponent more so than just working harder? But how can we use technology, use what's around us to advance our cause and see other folks go the other direction?
Yeah, we're going to continue to unpack this when we come back.
So, are you a Skinner fan?
Not really.
Yeah, see, where I grew up, this is played at like every funeral.
That was not where I thought this conversation was about. I thought you were going to say, you know, like every high school dance.
No, Freebird is funeral anthem.
Really? At what point community. Do they do?
I don't know. I mean, you got to think.
I'm assuming it's not live either.
They're no, playing, no. You probably and, still and the awkward part is the long guitar solo, and you're like, man, is this song ever going like? Ever going to end. It's very long. It's a great song.
Man. This is something I did not know.
Yeah, I had a buddy. His dad died, when we were in school. And I remember like it was yesterday. He came to school and he's like, yeah, we're gonna play Free Bird. And it's, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't think that would be on the lineup at the Wood family funerals, but, I think we're probably going to go more gospel quartets.
You've always done such a great job of like, one of the things I love about how, you know, you talk about Cornersville, you know, like you've embraced your past.
I have embraced it.
You still feel connected Absolutely. To it. You know, the dairy farm industry and yep. all that other stuff. Like I love that. So it might be something
Maybe.
To consider.
Maybe if you're listening out there,
Free Aaron, Bird and a Sun Free, Drop.
And I want somebody in the audience to yell Free Bird. While I'm
noted,
while I'm in the casket.
Noted.
Okay. Wow. That's good.
So
I don't know where
we've been
why
talking
we went
about
there,
baseball. But. Do you have a team? Like, do you follow baseball much?
I, you know, here's the thing. Growing up, I did. My brother was always a Dodgers fan.
Okay.
My other brother was always a Braves fan. So I remember the Sid Bream days.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
You know, Dale Murphy days of the Braves. Dodgers, it was Oral Hershiser.
Yeah.
I was a huge Don Mattingly fan for the Yankees, Dave Winfield. And so we just kind of watched and again, and then some of the best years was we became Cardinals fans because of Mark McGwire.
Right.
And watching that whole thing go down with him and Sosa. And we would have conversations with, I remember sitting in the stadium and with binoculars and looking in the dugout just to look how big McGwire's arms were and going, I don't know if this is natural or not.
See if you could find him shooting up.
Yeah, I don't know if this is natural, but man, it was good baseball. In recent years, because I've never really had the one team that I follow.
Yeah.
In recent years, I've been a huge fan of the Dodgers because they have a redheaded bearded guy that I just really like.
We went to the Dodger Stadium this last summer. Man, it's fast.
But they're fun to watch for sure. So
I love that.
About you? Who's your team?
Well, see, I it's an odd deal.
And
because,
I know you have friends that,
yeah,
that play.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd deal, but it's odd because I have probably three favorite teams and they're all like rivals. It would be saying I'm a fan of the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's kind of
make
impossible,
any sense.
You know?
Yeah, you can't.
But so growing up in East Tennessee, I naturally was a Braves fan.
Sure.
Then we lived in Nashville for 8 years and
you were the Sounds.
Well, so the odd thing is there was a direct flight that was always the Southwest. This was when Southwest was kind of in their earliest. No, I shouldn't say it was when we just kind of all discovered Southwest, but they had a direct flight from Nashville to Chicago.
Okay.
Okay. And so we as a group of friends and many of us were without our kids yet. And so we would do an annual trip every year to go to Chicago. And we would always go to Wrigley.
Okay.
And so I love that. And then, of course, you've got here the Smokies that have been, a Cubs affiliate. And so I kind of feel like some Cubs connection.
Yeah.
And then I've got a buddy that plays for the Nationals.
Yep.
And so, of course, we cheered him on.
Had a
like
pretty
crazy.
Good year last year.
Yeah, yeah. It was the one that caught the ball at the end of the World Series to win it. And so, so weird. I mean, they're all competing against each other, but, man, we just love it. So today we're continuing to talk about this cheating scandal, but not so much just talking about, you know, the dynamics of what's going to happen with Major League Baseball and, are the Astros really going to survive?
They'll be fine.
You can turn to any number of sports stations in town and do that. Today what we're just really talking about is, you know, I think there's two dynamics to it. One, I think there is a dynamic of to what you referenced to earlier that I want us to unpack a bit, which is, you know, what are we really willing to do in order to get ahead? And the other dynamic that we'll talk about maybe in our next segment is the unique reality that for many of us, if we're not getting caught and it wasn't us doing it, if it was our team, if it was our company, if it was whatever it may be, if it was our nation, we're good with it.
Yep.
I mean, there's no one out there talking right now or no one that I'm hearing that's saying that that are Astros fans that are saying we should vacate the World Series. Most of them are probably thinking, wait, so we won a World Series and we get to keep the World Series. And we're going to trade in $5 million, which in the grand scheme of things, you know, a third baseman just signed a $92 million contract. So for an organization to lose $5 million and some draft picks, sure, that might impact the future a bit. And a coach, which you can find, they're a dime a dozen,
yep.
and a general manager, similar.
Yep.
And so you're like, most people are going to say, yes, I will gladly do that.
And I think after the year suspension, this coach will find another job in Major League Baseball.
And
the general manager will find another job.
People will be thrilled.
And so it's not the question has to be – because when I look at this, I go, there were meetings
right.
to decide we're going to put a camera in center field.
Right.
This is how we're going to do this. There was a lot of people involved in this. This wasn't some intern going, hey, you know what would be cool is if I do this. This was a – there were meetings that were had, conversations that were had before this, knowing it was wrong.
Right. Well, and so there's this piece of it. So the discussion is, you know, that while these two men, especially you look at AJ Hinch, who was the coach, and then you look at the GM, while neither one of them were the authors of the idea, they do believe that it was kind of schemed up by some probably secondary personnel of the organization. Here's what that is the biggest indictment. Anyone who knows baseball, and I'm not to imply that I know it to the degree of some, but so I'm actually an assistant coach, and calling me a coach is probably an exaggeration a bit, but that's what they call me with at Christian Academy of Knoxville with middle school baseball team. And a guy named Tyler Chastain, some of our listeners probably know him. He's an attorney in town. His oldest son or his son, now plays college baseball, came through the program at CAK, and Tyler's the head coach and he knows baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I can watch baseball. I feel like I've got some general, things that kind of supersede sports when it comes to coaching, you know, motivation and rallying kids and all that other stuff. But he knows the details. He knows the fundamentals. He knows technique. He knows everything about baseball. Brilliant. And here's the deal. He's coaching middle school baseball. He could be coaching elsewhere if he wanted to. Again, he's got a successful practice as an attorney. But he catches everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that is happening on the field, he catches. A professional manager
is going to know.
What is that clinking sound that's happening?
Well, that, and he's also going to look at some of his players and go, it's almost like you knew what pitch was coming.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's that. So let's talk about this. So we'll talk about that other perspective and other dynamic after or in our next segment. But talk to me a bit about, do you think this is in play really in all facets of life that we are tempted to do whatever it takes to get an advantage, either over a competitor, over someone that we're in competition against, in business or whatever it may be, where we're willing to trade in our integrity.
Yeah, I think like you said earlier, it's the I haven't been caught, and so is anything really wrong with this? And we do it in business, we do it. We do it in a number of areas of our life. We do it at home. I think some of us are, if I answer this a certain way, it's going to cause a lot of flack. But if I answer it this way and it's not completely true, you know, I'm probably going to, get us out of a certain conversation I don't want to have.
Right.
And I can move forward, or we cut corners. I know that I talked to somebody the other day. My brother, is a manager of a landscape company, and he had a guy completely lie on his timesheet. And my brother has a way of knowing, but that guy was trying to get paid for hours he didn't work, knowing there was a possibility he could get caught, but he thought, I'm going to take that risk because if I win on this, then I get paid and I didn't do the work. I think all of us have that tendency in our natural state to go, well, if this gets me ahead, then I'm going to take advantage of that. And we justify it by saying, hey, it's just a loophole that I can take advantage of here.
Right. And we often want to think about this as business practice, but the truth is all of it are heart issues. We'll talk more when we come back.
What is that, Eric Clapton? Is that right? Change the World? Yeah, that's Eric Clapton.
Come on, man.
Well, he's had a career that's stretched years. He's been around a while.
Didn't he have a pretty significant tragedy?
He did. He lost his son. Yeah. And then he wrote the song "Tears in Heaven," one of the saddest songs to ever.
Truly.
It's just
that like, and apparently Freebird.
Freebird
at funerals.
Freebird and "Tears in Heaven," I guarantee you, have been played at the same funeral at some point.
Wow.
I guarantee it.
Man.
Next week, we're going to talk about funerals. Oh, no, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. So, listen,
I feel like every time we do a show, I learn a lot, from you.
Yeah.
But maybe that nugget, that free bird at funerals nugget is as notable as anything.
That's good. That's good. And I look forward to, I hope it's added. I hope you've already got your pre-needs set for your funeral. I hope you add that song.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a Skinner look-alike sing it live.
Wow.
I think that would bring, I think that would bring a whole nother level of amazingness.
Wow.
For sure.
How many, going back to baseball, have you been to any Major League Baseball stadiums?
Been to St. Louis, been to Atlanta, I've been to Boston Red Sox, not when the Red Sox were playing. I was up in the area for work. And I sat in there's a bar in the outfield where you can actually like sit in the outfield and watch. And I watched a college baseball game.
Oh, cool. Doing an exhibition
in there. And so that was cool just to see the stadium.
Yeah.
And then, have walked by Yankee Stadium, but haven't seen a game in there. I think that's it. Yeah,
nice.
not many, but
that's awesome.
But the Red Sox stadium. Look, I'm not a fan of the Red Sox, but their stadium.
Oh yeah, it's super cool.
Insane. It was just cool to be in there.
You know that game that sometimes people play, like you know, it's kind of like two truths and a lie, or you know, kind of that. What would you something about you that no one would ever believe or something? So mine. So one, our boys, at least our two oldest boys, but really even our two oldest boys play baseball.
Sure.
Our youngest boy enjoys watching it, but he plays soccer. And so we've seen a number of them, and even on our sabbatical, we kind of toured the West Coast and checked out a bunch of things. But my two truths and a lie, or two lies and a truth, I should say, the one truth that I put out there that most people would never believe is that I've actually sung the national anthem in three Major League Baseball parks.
Really?
Did you believe that?
No, I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah. Is part of a kids choir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which three?
Fenway.
Wow.
The Rocky Stadium. And then also
what kids choir were you in?
I was in a traveling kids choir. No, it was actually with church, and it was connected to mission trips that we do in these big cities. So it was Atlanta.
That's cool.
Denver. And then, or Colorado. And then, Fenway.
That's cool. I went to,
I didn't have a ton of talent. I was responsible for standing on the front row and smiling.
Here's the thing. When you're in a choir.
Doesn't matter.
As long as a lot of other people are good.
Feels good.
You're good.
I was supposedly the showman. I kind of did a little jiggity jig and dance.
That doesn't surprise me.
Not on the national anthem.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird song to dance to.
Yeah, for the other
songs. But I get it. And so, I would encourage folks, if you're a baseball fan, take a trip to Florida to one of the areas for spring training.
Oh, it's great. We did.
And you can just knock out so many games. I mean, we did that my junior, senior year of high school. I went with a buddy and his dad, and we watched so much baseball.
And you get to like interact with the players.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Autographs,
it was amazing. That particular year, Cecil Fielder was, I don't know if he was on his way out or if he was one of the assistant coaches, but got to see him up close, which was really cool because he'd been a, you know, big time player for a long time. But yeah, that was a cool moment.
This last year, we went down to Orlando. Now they've moved it from, Wide World of Sports. Last year was their last year there, but we went down and Hayden got, a picture with Charlie Culberson, who plays for the Braves, which oddly ended up being really convenient, but coincidental maybe, that within like the same week, if you remember last season, Charlie Culberson took a shot to the face, and was put out the rest of the season. Hayden experienced the exact same thing.
That is.
And remember, had to have his facial surgery and all this stuff. So bizarre.
So it's his fault. It's the Braves' fault.
So we actually have a class action. Or we have a lawsuit. It's not class action. But it is a lawsuit.
As it should be.
But they're still one of our favorite teams.
Yeah. Braves are awesome. The Tomahawk Chop. All that stuff's good stuff.
So we continue on with this discussion. MLB cheating. We're really just talking about being people of character. The thing that I would offer is that really this is a heart issue. And I think the thing that we have to be mindful of is that ultimately our responsibility for high character is not to it's not to a commissioner in a sport.
Sure.
It's not to a boss in our employment. You know, it is not to, some political official or even to law enforcement. At the end of the day, because we can do all kinds of things illegally. We can do all kinds of things secretly. We can do all kinds of stuff that is wrong, unethical, and displeasing to the Father without getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is God the Father is not somehow unaware of those things.
Yep.
It's not like, oh, I didn't see you guys, you know, doing that. It's like when Adam and Eve eat of the tree.
Right.
You know, they're hiding. God asked, where are you? But he's saying that in a sense, not as I've lost track of you.
Right.
That's not the case. He is fully aware of where they are in their sin. And he's asking the question for their benefit, not for his own. Like, oh, y'all come out. I can't break you down. And so the idea of that we are ultimately responsible for pleasing the Lord and ultimately our judgment will be before the Lord, not before man, has to be something we keep in mind.
Well, I think society and culture would say, hey, weigh the risk with the reward.
Right.
And so whether it's, you know, putting a camera in center field and hey, is it worth the risk or, you know, from a sports standpoint, is it worth the risk to do that? Is it worth the risk to take steroids for a time and maybe they won't catch us or, you know, and I think we do the same thing at work. We go, well, is it worth the risk to fudge on my timesheet? And maybe I'll get paid and they'll never know. No one will never know. It's not going to hurt anybody. $100 extra this week isn't going to hurt the organization.
Right.
But it sure is going to help me. And so it's worth the risk. Or with our families, with our kids, is it worth the risk? You know, those type things. In reality, that shouldn't be the question. The question is this sinful or not?
Right.
Is this lying or not?
Is this cheating or not?
And is it God honoring or not? And if the answer is no, it's not, then you have your answer there.
Right.
And I think sometimes we try to justify it because we look at it through society would lens of, well, it's worth the risk.
So on the other perspective though, let's talk about what is our responsibility? And again, I don't want it to just be exclusively about sports, but what is our responsibility in how we respond to, so let's say it is our team that has clearly been identified as cheating.
Sure.
You know, and we kind of like,
our teams would never do that.
Jason. Yeah, no, of course, the Vols would never. You know, but
clearly we haven't been cheating. I think that's pretty clear.
You know, it's interesting though. I mean, in all honesty, like that, you know, if I don't know if again, listeners may or may not be following this, but North Carolina basketball is having a really rough season this year, like really rough season, and their coach has come out and said, like, basically, this is the least talented group of players I've ever had, and yet, two or three, three or four seasons ago, he got his hand slapped significantly because of illegal recruiting.
Yep.
And so it seems to be that's cleaned up.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden your team's not winning. And I have to wonder how many Carolina fans, now don't call me if you're a Carolina fan. I'm just speaking in generalizations here. But how many Carolina fans are saying, listen, if we can get back to winning, Just do what everyone else is doing.
Well, and I'll say on Twitter, when it comes to Vol Twitter, there's a lot of people that say, look at all the teams around us. They have to be cheating. Why are we not doing it?
Did you see where Odell Beckham Jr. was literally giving out cash?
LSU is saying it's fake money.
Yeah, they said it's Monopoly money.
That's not real money. Yeah.
And so that's a weird dynamic that honestly, I don't think you and I, Andrew and I have the answer to, like, okay, so if everyone's doing this, I think we would say ultimately that probably means there should be rule changes.
Sure.
If this is happening across the board, but do we have a certain responsibility to maybe be reserved in our celebrations? Do we have a responsibility to be reserved in our opinions or even like, you know, our excitement about a team or an organization or our business? If we know we're succeeding and the world would be celebrating, but we also know we're succeeding at the loss of our integrity.
Yeah. Of course we should say our integrity matters.
Right.
But man, it's hard.
Sure.
If you're a sports fan, if you're a fan of anything, it's hard. It's hard even within the life of our families to say,
right.
well, I want my kid to get this part, or I want my kid to get this at school, or I want my kid to succeed in this area. What can I do to help them succeed in this area? There's an integrity issue there. Yeah. Are we so scared that they may fail that we're going to bend the rules so that they won't? Well, that says something about our integrity.
So if I was a listener today, one, I would have turned it off a while ago. No, I hope not. That's not the case. But my natural, my natural desire, and maybe yours too, is I want to be like, all right, give me the steps. Where's the line? You know, okay, give me something prescriptive here. This is what I should do. And let's be honest. I mean, especially when it comes to some of these things, when you talk about organizational dynamics, when you talk about businesses and massive corporations, when you talk about sports and the NCAA and huge entities, all this other stuff, there are 1,000 different gray zones in it, you know, and there's 1,000 different, you know, kind of viewpoints. Here's where I would just go back to. This is why we ultimately have been gifted with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit allows us to seek and to sense discernment. It allows us to be able to seek Him and to experience some clarity at times when we think, I just don't know. How do I talk to my parent? I mean, how do I talk to my kids about this? How do I interact with my boss on this? You know, how do I interact with a person in our community that I know is doing something that's not quite right, but feels like everyone else is doing it?
Yeah.
This is where we don't necessarily go back to a list or a group of prescriptive rules. It's where we go back to the Spirit and say, lead us, Lord.
Yeah, and there's going to be times where we fail. There's going to be times where we mess up. The point is recognizing that and understanding that, okay, we need to make a correction here. Or, this would make me X amount of extra dollars, but, you know, but it would hurt my integrity. It would offend the Lord.
Right.
So I'm going to go a different direction, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. So as we finish up, Jason, you know, we were talking about, before we came on today, we were discussing, hey, what's the topic for this week? And I'll just say, I'm so glad we talked about this and not the debate last night. So I think we made the right choice.
We did consider talking about, I actually defined it as what feels like the beginning of the political season. That's not really true because obviously we've been going at it for months and it sometimes never feels like it ever stops.
Yeah.
Right. We are now officially in an election year, and
it's insane. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
you know.
And
here
so
we thought about talking about last night's Democratic debate, and really just the beginning of how do we posture our hearts, and we still very well may do that in the coming days. But I enjoy talking about baseball. What's your favorite baseball stadium food? Or let's not even say baseball, stadium food.
Oh, 100% a hot dog. For me, hot dog.
Okay. Is there anything that would accompany the hot dog?
I would say, a giant Coke. And then,
not a Coke, a giant Coke.
Yeah.
And then
just as far as concession stand food, it would be like the local concession stands, like high school baseball type concession stand. I would say a grape slushy.
Oh, yeah.
Airheads and blow pops. That is my go-to.
Yeah, there's two. I agree. It feels like two genres.
Yeah.
There's like the local, like Little League concession stand. And then there is like, I'm at a pro event or even a stadium.
Yeah.
Stadium, I'm probably going, I actually like the hamburger, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
I know,
hamburger's usually good at Little League stadiums too.
Yeah. It can definitely be good. I enjoy popcorn. For sure.
Okay. What about nachos and cheese?
I was about to put nachos and cheese actually as my number one.
Oh, really? Number one. Okay.
Yeah. I would never do it alone. So, you don't order just nachos and cheese. You do like a hot dog and nachos
and
cheese. It's like the nachos and cheese are like a side for me. It's kind of like cookout.
Yeah.
We have two entrees.
Come on.
You know, like another entree is
Let's
side.
Go eat there.
Yeah.
After
absolutely.
We leave here.
And then I would say local park. Yeah. I'm going to say, for me, I still enjoy a great bag of M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always kind of have that. I like a Snickers bar.
So when you were a kid,
a bottled Coke, I like that.
Oh yeah, that's good. So when you were a kid, and let's say, I played baseball, but even when I wasn't playing, if I was there to watch my brothers or if our game wasn't started yet, we would play what we called cup ball. Did y'all play that?
No.
Where you would like wad up a cup or aluminum foil, and you would play and your hand is the bat.
Okay, yeah, I've seen
iterations. And so we called it cut ball, but I don't know what they called it in Knoxville. And we would play
saran wrap ball, whatever, but right. Aluminum foil ball. Yeah.
Yeah. We would always call it cut ball.
Okay.
And even though but aluminum foil was the best thing to use because you could really hit with that. And we would just play right there by the concession stand. Nobody fussed
That's
at us.
Fun.
Like it was those, I don't know if that kids still, they probably are on their phones now, but, it was a lot of fun when we were kids playing that. The baseball field was a happy place.
It is.
For the Wood family.
Yeah, it should be always a happy place for most everyone. But
not for everybody.
There's a lot of screaming, and I can be one of those folks too. I'm just like, Lord, help me. Help.
I'm just grateful that my parents didn't play sports.
Right.
And so when they would come to my games, they were just super encouraging. So after every game,
awesome.
I would, there was one game I struck out three times.
Yeah, that's not
Came
surprising.
Off the field.
I mean, wait, what?
Shut your mouth.
Sorry.
I came off the field and my mom was like, you did so good today. I was like, what were you watching?
What is wrong with
you? I did not do good, Mom. You played good in the field. And you tipped that one ball.
Get me some nachos and be quiet.
And then in basketball, my dad would just stand up and he would do this at baseball too. He didn't know the rules, but he would just go, at baseball, he would go, come on, Blue! Talking about
the
ump.
I like that.
And that's all he would say.
I like that.
And then in basketball, he would say, come on, ref! That's it. That's all he would do. I could hear him in the stands. Come on, ref! That's it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So today, if we're going to wrap things up, we do try to give obviously some redemptive, points. And I would just say again, man, guys, as we walk this thing that is the faith, this thing that is, a journey with Christ, we've really got to consider, that we are not trying to simply please man.
Yeah.
Rather, we are trying to honor God. And that brings a whole nother set of standards. It is not simply what we can get caught in or what we can get away with, but rather what is pleasing to the Father. And we then think about how we think about other things. And we consider that, and we put it under the subject of the Holy Spirit, and then we go and eat nachos.
Yeah,
and we move forward.
And have a hot dog and a giant Coke. And so as we finish out, I think that's important. Just, it's not, there is, sometimes we talk about things that we can just give straight application.
Right.
This is how you do that. It's going to be different for a lot of us, whether that be in sports or what we do for a living or how we operate at home. The main thing is we want to honor God with our choices, with our conversations, and it's important to do that. And sometimes the culture is going to look at that and go, no, you should have done this. And we go, well, that doesn't honor God.
Right.
And then that sets us apart and shows a difference. And it's worth the effort and time. Right?
I agree wholeheartedly. We will talk to you next week between Sundays.